You're listening to Cross the Border. The name of this program is Cross the Border, as in cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, also called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, and live forever. That's my plea. We're going through the scripture. We've gone through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and now we're in the book of Numbers in chapter 3. And from the narration, we find out that it is the first day of the second month of the second year after the children of Israel came out of Egypt that Moses received these instructions from the Creator. So that's where we're going to pick up here. We're in chapter 3. It says, all that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of Yahuwah, throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward were 20,000. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. So the firstborn, that's not all the males, but that is the firstborn. That is the firstborn, every male that opens the matrix. That's a popular word today, matrix, but it does refer to the womb of a woman. And if you ever wondered where that word matrix came from, and it's fitting that people consider themselves caught in a matrix. And I remember seeing that movie, and they have these pods like a matrix, which all these people are born and nurtured in and live their lives in a fantasy. Yeah, it is a good depiction. After the first Matrix number one movie, well, it was a waste of time after that, but there was a lot of good messages in that movie, The Matrix. I would rather be a part of the Patrix, referring to the Father and His kingdom, you know, our Heavenly Father. So anyway, I would be rather be born of the Patrix, born of His provision for a new life. So forget the Matrix, and let's talk about the Patrix. Numbers 3, chapter 3, 42, and Moses numbered, as Yahuwah commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of the names from a month old and upward of those that were numbered of them were 20,213. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am Yahuwah. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the pole, after the shekel of the sanctuary, thou shalt take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. It says whatever 20 gerahs is. But that's a shekel of silver, giving a just weight here. And thou shalt give the money therewith. The odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money. So this is like a head tax. A capitation, that's another word for a head tax. That's what they had in America. That's the only lawful tax for the federal government, is a capitation or a head tax. Of course, they've way overstepped the law that they were bound by. They broke the bands asunder. That's you can read about that in Psalm. It's a wonderful psalm, a wonderfully prophetic psalm. Let us break their bands asunder. 5 shekels apiece. Okay, Numbers 3:48. Thou shalt give the money therewith. The odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites of the firstborn of the children of Israel. Took he the money 1,375 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and his sons, according to the word of Yahuwah. And Yahuwah as he had commanded Moses. Chapter 4. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even till 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil, and shall cover the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of the of badger skin, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof, and upon the table of the showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, the spoons, the bowls, and covers to cover withal, and continual bread shall be thereon, and they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with the covering of badger skin, and shall put in the staves thereof. And they shall take a cloth of blue, and cover the candlesticks of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his censers, and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it, and all the vessels thereof, within a covering of badger's skins, and shall put it upon a bar, and upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of badger skin, and they shall put the staves thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger skin, and shall put them on a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon. And they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, the censers, the flesh hooks, the shovels, the basins, all the vessels of the altar, and they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skin, and put to the staves of it. And when Aaron and his son had made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come and bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. So here we're getting more instruction for the Levites, how that they're supposed to take down, how they're supposed to pack away the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and all that has to do with it, and then that the sons of Kohath are to come and bear it, to carry it to wherever they're moving. And to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is in the sanctuary, and the vessel thereof. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Cut ye not off the tribe of the family of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them, for that they may live and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. So the Levites, Aaron and his sons, were to pack everything up. And when they had it all ready and everything packed away properly, then the Kohathites were to bear it. Take also the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the houses of their families by their families from 30 years old and upward until 50 years old. Thou shalt number them all that enter in to perform the service. So only those that were between 30 and 50 years old apparently were to perform the service of the tabernacle. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites to serve and for burdens, and they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle of the congregation, its covering, and the covering of the badger skin that is above upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the hanging of the door at the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, for their cords and all the instruments of their service and all that is made for them, so shall they serve. At the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites, and all their burdens and all their service you shall appoint unto them in charge of all their burdens. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation, and their charge shall be under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And for the sons of Merari shall number you shall number them after their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old. Thou shalt number them, every one that entereth into service, to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And this is the charge of their burden, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation: the boards, the tabernacle, the bars thereof, the pillars thereof, the sockets thereof, the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, their pins, and their cords, with all their instruments, and all their service by the name. And by name you shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And Moses and Aaron and the chief of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites after their family and after the house of their fathers, from 30 years old upward, even to 50 years old, everyone that enters into service for the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And those that were numbered by them, of them, by their families, were 2,750. These were they that were numbered the families of the Kohathites, all that might do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, which Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandment of Yahuwah by the hand of Moses. And those that were numbered of the sons of Gershon throughout their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into service for the work of the in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them throughout their families by the house of their fathers, were 2,630. These were they that were numbered of the families of Gershon, all that might do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, whom Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandment of Yahuwah. And those who were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari throughout their families by their house, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into service for the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, even those that were numbered of them after the families, were 3,200. These be those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of Yahuwah by the hand of Moses. All those that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the chief of Israel numbered after their families, after the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, every one that came to do the service of the ministry after the service of the burden in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them, were 8,540, according to the commandment of Yahuwah, were they numbered by the hand of Moses, every one according to his service and according to his burden. Thus they were numbered of him, as Yahuwah commanded Moses. Chapter 5 of Numbers. And the Lord, Yahuwah, spoke unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, and every one that has an issue. So if anyone's leaking, they're put out of the camp. And whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female, you shall put out without the camp, you shall put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. So this is a quarantine law. And we've touched on that before, and here, setting up the camp, setting up the nation, how they were to set up when they moved, all of their tents, of course, with the tabernacle in the center, and how the priests and the tribes of Levi who ministered in the tabernacle were to set up around the tabernacle. And then further out, you would have the different tribes, and you had hundreds of thousands of people in each tribe, at least hundreds of thousands, if not moving up into the millions of some of these tribes. You had very large tribes, so they were taking a very large area of space in the wilderness here. They were sojourners in the land, and I believe that the demonstration of his nation, the national Israel, the kingdom of God, as a mortal nation on earth, this demonstration of them being sojourners is a demonstration for us that we are sojourners here in the flesh. Actually, our bodies are a tabernacle which we live in temporarily, and we move about on the face of the earth. We will live in this tabernacle for a while, but like a tent, like a tabernacle, which is what a tent is, this tent will wear out and grow old like a garment, and we will cast it off one day, every single one of us. This life is short, but eternity is forever. So let us live and store up our treasure in heaven, as the scripture so says. Now, what we're reading is the Old Testament. This is the Word of God, and it was given specifically to the children of Israel. And the part that we're reading now is specifically given to the children of Israel for the service of the tabernacle, the priest temple or tabernacle, a sacrificial system that was set up for national Israel as the center of the nation, as the focus of the nation. The nation was to be focused on this type of the Messiah that was coming. The entire focus of the nation was to be, the nation was built, this mortal national Israel, this mortal kingdom of God, was being set up as a picture for us to look at. So if we wonder why am I going through this? Well, one, because I've made a commitment to go through the entire Word of God, and I believe that as an act of obedience to my Heavenly Father, He's called me to do this, so I'm doing it. Number two, I've learned a lot from doing this, and especially going through it again. I'm learning so much more because I've learned so much more in the interim from the last time I went through the whole entire scripture, and the last time I attempted to record a study in the entire scripture, which I am doing now. And the reason that I started over before I completed was because I'd learned so much more. And I feel that now I don't know if I'm qualified, but I guess it matters not. If the Heavenly Father calls you to do something, that He qualifies you to do it. So by His calling, I am qualified to do it. So I am doing it. And I know that I'm much more qualified this time because I've learned so much more. And I believe I've learned so much more because I have been willing to lay down everything that I did learn before. And I came to that point with my prior attempt to go through the entire scripture and as a study format like what I'm doing right now, and learning so much, and learning that everything that I learned before, or probably 80% of everything I learned before, was wrong. By going through the scripture, I learned that most of what I was taught by so-called Bible teachers, and, you know, these corporate teachers who have these corporate ministries, these corporate teaching ministries, who teach in the corporate church, you know, the state-sponsored church out there, that I learned that they taught me a lot of things that were not true. And I believe, you know, I loved some of these men as pastors and teachers, as mentors, that taught me things. And I believe that they honestly believed what they taught me. But if you believe a lie, that doesn't make it true. It may not make you a liar, because the intent of your heart isn't to lie, but you're still lying. Just because you believe it's the truth doesn't mean that you're not lying. You're lying by proxy. You're lying because you've been trained in some seminary that the scripture, to see the scripture in a certain way, regardless of what it says. But to put off all of that, to take a fresh look at the scripture and to take a look at the whole Word of God and get the big picture, rather than this piecemeal pick and choose and cut and paste theology that I learned from the corporate church and from the corporate Bible teachers and corporate ministries out there who have their position by the state. And they're controlled by the state, and they're controlled by these universities and seminaries and whoever writes the curriculum for them. And I have a pretty good idea of where most of it comes from. And we'll just tie it all to the father of lies for the moment. Otherwise, we're going to get into prophecy and history, which is not the Book of Numbers, which is where we're at right now. So let's jump back in. And, before I move on, I wanted to talk about the Word of God. This was the Word given to the children of Israel, and we see why it was given to them. Because they were given this typology, and they were given this nation, how to build this nation, this mortal kingdom of God. And that's what national Israel was. It was the mortal kingdom of God. It was to be a type. It was a model for us to learn from. Paul said it himself. He said that the children of Israel, that the law, that all of these things were written as an example for us. So that's why we need to look at it. That's why we need to read it, so that we can learn from this example to us. So this mortal kingdom of God, national Israel, this demonstration that our Heavenly Father is a type of an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that will never end. It's not, because the kingdom of God that comes through Yahshua, when we're born again and we sit in heavenly places in Christ Yahshua, Christ Jesus, we're not talking about a mortal kingdom any longer. The kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of God, the mortal kingdom of God, that's what Israel was. It was a type. It was a mortal kingdom of men, flesh and blood, surrounding with their focus at the center was this sacrifice. And so it is with the spiritual kingdom of our Heavenly Father. Now we have a spiritual kingdom. Though we live in the flesh, though we're in the world, we're not of it, because we're of a kingdom that transcends this world, that transcends all of the imaginary boundaries of the kingdoms of men, because the whole earth is Yahuwah's, and the fullness thereof, and everything in it, and everyone therein, it all belongs to Him. Men and their kingdoms, they imagine lines on the earth. They imagine that they own the land, but it's all His. No one owns it, because if you owned it, then when you died, you could take it with you. No, but your mortality proves that you don't own it, because you can't take it with you. And then there are the books of the Old Testament, and I had someone that I was listening on a program the other day who brought up, like, the book of Enoch. And these people really believe somehow that Enoch, the Enoch of old, the one that was taken away, they believe that he wrote this book. Well, I don't believe it for a minute, because Enoch is more of a Gnostic writing, and it came out of the Gnostics, as many of the other writings. And the fact is, if the mortal kingdom of God on earth, that is national Israel, did not accept a writing, then it's not part of the Old Testament. So any writing, as such as the book of Enoch, which came out of the Gnostic writings, and is part of the Gnostics, the whole Gnostic thought, anything that preceded Christ and is not part of the Old Testament, or the oracles that were given to the children of Israel, then they're not part of our biblical text. How can they be? And Enoch certainly isn't part of the New Testament, is it? Or the writings that came after the Messiah? So if it's not part of the former, and it's not part of the latter, what is it? Well, it's a Gnostic writing. And it's a forgery. I'm not sure that it really says that it's written by the Enoch of biblical fame, but I don't believe for a minute it is. There's just too many things that are wrong in it. Very clever writings. Many of the Gnostic writings are very clever. But if you want to be deceived, well, I guess it's out there for you. That's my feeling on the Gnostic writings and all of the other Gnostic Gospels that are out there. Now, I believe our Heavenly Father preserved His Word. If you believe that He's not in charge, then you know, you can believe what you want. And He's preserved His Word. I mean, the best English translation I have is the King James Version. And the reason that I say that is because I have this Strong's Hebrew and Greek concordance, and I can dive into the original language and further discern. And more than that, we have His Holy Spirit.